Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The day is surely drawing near. And of course, you know that I'm talking about that great shopping day, Black Friday. It is the day that marks the end of all sanity, and it is the official beginning of the sprint through the shopping season and on to Christmas. The world, who largely despises the Christ of Christmas, prepares for this most important financial season, for this Black Friday 2019, which is sure to be one of the biggest yet, by sitting down with their coffee and the Sunday paper and looking through all the ads. They start comparing the ads and noting the great sales and what time the stores open, and they make their lists and they plan out their schedule for this most important day of the year. But while the world does this, the church quietly gathers in God's house and celebrates the end of yet another church year. Another church year in which the risen and ascended and glorified Christ did not return to judge the living and the dead. While they look at their papers and plan their hunt, you are gathered here in God's house to remember the suffering and death of your Savior, to think of the promise of paradise that Jesus made to the thief on the cross next to him, and to put your trust in the truth that Jesus has made peace by the blood of his cross. This is a joyous time of year, filled with great expectation and anticipation for what the future holds. It's a great time of year to be with family and friends and to eat too much food. Remember to set your scales back 10 pounds the night before Thanksgiving, right? That's how it goes. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with buying gifts and shopping for good deals and celebrating with the goods that the Lord has given, unless you don't remember the fact that there can't be lasting peace, there can't be joy, and there is no one prepared for the resurrection of the dead and the life that is to come apart from Jesus' death and resurrection. For if you forget that, then you've lost everything. It is only through Jesus' death and resurrection from the dead that you will be prepared for that glorious day of the Lord. And when that day finally comes, there's only one Friday that will avail for your salvation. There's only one name that will stand when all knees are bowing. There's only one gift that brings eternal life. So on this last Sunday of the church year, like all the other last Sundays before it, we do the only thing we know, the only thing we've been really taught. We bow the knee and we look at Christ crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. We weep and lament, knowing that it is our real sins that put Jesus on the cross and kept him on the cross. It's our real sin that led him to sacrifice his life for us. We know that we justly deserve the death that he died as the due reward for our deeds. Just as the thief said, we are suffering righteously. This is what we deserve. This is what we have done, and this is who we are. But not him. He has done nothing wrong, and yet he dies as a criminal. And yet we also know that Jesus is merciful to sinners. We hear that he promises paradise to the thief on the cross. It is certain, today you will be with me in paradise. He promises paradise to this one who turns to him to be remembered, who turns to him in repentance so that he can be saved. And he rejoices at the word that Jesus speaks to him. Because he shed his precious blood for all sinners, the thief will be saved, and so will you. Again, there is no better gift that you can receive. The thief asked Jesus to remember him in his kingdom. He didn't ask him just to think about him when he got to his throne and sat there. He was asking him to save him in that very moment. He trusted that Jesus could do it, and Jesus did. You have been marked with the sign of the cross. You have been hung there next to Jesus, crucified with him in your sins. You have died with him in holy baptism. And you have been raised with him again to life through those waters. You were buried with Christ so that you would also be raised with him on the last day. These may all sound like idle words, like a fairy tale, like wishful thinking for those who are perishing, but they are not. Jesus remembers the thief. He remembers you. He doesn't remember your sins. He remembers your name. He remembers that he covered you with his own blood, that he put his own name on you because you belong to him. And while we often forget, he never does. He is always faithful to his promises. That is why on this last Sunday of the church year, we look forward to Jesus' return to judge the living and the dead. Not as those filled with fear of what will come on that day, but of those knowing that we are covered in the blood of Jesus and that we are being saved. On this day, we give thanks for all of those who have been baptized, who have died in this Christian faith. And then we do as Jesus invited us to do, as he instructed us to do. We remember his suffering and death until he comes again by eating and drinking his body and blood for real forgiveness, for temporal and eternal life, and for salvation from the chains of sin and death that belong to us. But you can't find this message out in the world, can you? It wasn't in the paper this morning with all those ads for Black Friday. Many in this world sit in the seat of mockers, and they want you to join them. They teach that there's nothing more important than what they're doing. They teach that God's word doesn't really matter and that you don't need to study it or hear it or to receive it at all. Like the thief on the cross, on Jesus' other hand, they scoff at all this talk about forgiveness and righteousness and salvation in Jesus Christ. They're the ones crying out, "He saved others, let him save himself. Then we'll believe in him when he comes down from that cross. If he's really the Christ, the chosen one, then let him show his power. If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. If you're the king of the Jews, save us. If you're God, why didn't you help me when I needed you? Where were you when I was in that car accident? When I was diagnosed with that sickness? When I needed help making that decision? When my husband died, when my wife died, as I was dying. Where were you, God, in all of these things?" That is the question of the world, not the question of faith. The people born of this world and its prince, the devil, are so filled with fear and guilt that they almost have to mock God and his promises. It's like a self-defense mechanism because they don't know what else to do. They know they have a problem. They know they can't fix it. But they don't want to believe the foolishness that you believe. They go through the changing seasons. They count the shopping days until Christmas. But they don't give a single thought to Christ, to the center of Christmas, at all. They do not return any of the treasure that he has given to them. They don't notice the signs of the end of the age and turn in repentance and faith before it is too late. They don't realize that the end is imminent, that Jesus is coming again and he will judge the living and the dead. They don't really think they're in any danger. But instead, they mock those who think that they are. They mock those who believe that this will all happen, that there is a judgment day and hell. They not only mock God, but they mock all those who believe in him, who trust in Jesus and all that other religiosity stuff. They think you're the ones who are foolish. They think you're ignorant of the things of this world. They see your traditions and your practices, what you're doing right now, as completely worthless and as a waste of time. They are just like those that Malachi preached to, who said, "It is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts?" And on one hand, from our sinful perspective, we can understand their question. Because what do we see when we look at the world? We see the wicked flourishing and succeeding. We see those who are dishonest in business getting ahead, while those who are honest falling behind. But still, we know from God's perspective that their day will come, that judgment will come for them, and that they are not standing ahead, that unless they repent and are forgiven as the thief on the cross, they will surely die an eternal death. And we can't just point our finger out at the world when we're speaking the law either, can we? We can't just look at and point out their sins, for how often are we guilty of exactly the same things, of only going through the motions of worship as if it doesn't really matter that much, of not being reverent and mindful that we are actually gathered in the presence of the Lord of heaven and earth, the very one who created the sun and the moon and the stars and everything in this world. I mean, if somebody were to walk in here right now, someone of the world, watching what we're doing, listening to what we're saying, seeing how we're acting, would they think that we believe we're in the presence of the King? Would they think that we are doing something important by what they see in us? It's not only the world that's guilty of forgetting about Christ and His Word during the shopping season. Oh, I mean Christmas. It's not only the world that's guilty of hoarding the treasures that God has given that are to benefit our neighbor. It's not only the world that is guilty of ignoring the signs that are all around us, calling us to repentance and faith before it is too late. We are guilty of all of those things. We have done them all. We are guilty of adopting the ways of the unbelievers and of questioning God's ways, even of mocking Him, of becoming skeptical of His providence and our need of righteousness and salvation. How often have we been too embarrassed to admit that we are Christians? How hard is it to tell someone that we actually eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus for our life and salvation? How often have we been too afraid to speak to someone we care about of the joy that we have in the forgiveness of our sins, or what God's Word says about a difficult topic in our lives? Of course, we're not immune to the devil either. He stands there and continues to ask us, did God really say all those things? Did He really mean all those things for you today? Wasn't that just for people back then? Doesn't really matter now? Did He really say that you will surely die because of your sins? Did He really say that you must have a Savior from sin? And it's easy for us to listen to Him and to join the throng saying, if He's the Christ of God, then show us some sign. Give us some proof. Bless those of us who trust in Your Word. Let us get ahead once in this life instead of falling behind to all those other sinners. Heal our bodies, Lord. Show us that You're real. Fix our messes. Save us. But don't you see, that's exactly what he has done? That's exactly what he did on that Good Friday. He stretched out his arms and allowed his hands and his feet to be pierced for the sins of the whole world. He died because of our trespasses and our apathy. He died for our skepticism and our fear and our doubt. He died for our questioning of his words. He died for our sicknesses, for all of our messes, and for every last one of our sins. He has done what you want. He has given you a sign, Christ crucified. Since he is the Christ of God, since he is God's Messiah, he didn't come down from that cross. He stayed there. He could have called forth a legion of angels. He could have come down from the cross and wiped out his enemies. But then there would be no salvation. No, since he is God's Messiah, he stayed on the cross, for it was his Father's will that he die in order that his creation could have life and peace through his blood. This word of the cross, Paul writes to the Corinthians, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the very power of God. The word of the cross will always be foolishness to this world that is seeking to get ahead, because the word of the cross looks like weakness, not power. But the cross is the power and the wisdom of God. It is by the cross of Christ that you are saved. Since we have no wisdom or knowledge in ourselves that is not of this world, that is not tainted, we cannot cling to our own wisdom and strength. Instead, we cling to Jesus. We cling to his cross and death for our life and salvation, for this is the wisdom and the power of God. In the epistle, you heard Paul write to the Colossians saying, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. He has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Do you want to see God active and present in this world and in your life? Then look to his cross. This is where the visible image of the invisible God is revealed to you. This is where God's love is shown. Greater love has no man than that he give up his life to save sinners. On this last Sunday of the church year, as you hear again about Jesus' crucifixion and death, you are being prepared for that last day to come. You are being prepared for the Lord's second coming, not by anything that you have done, not by anything that you could ever do, but simply by hearing what Jesus Christ has done for you. You are being prepared by receiving the gifts that he gives, the absolution that he speaks, the words that he preaches, the benediction that he puts on you, the body and blood of his Son that he gives for your life and salvation. You're being prepared by receiving these gifts that he gives not just at Christmas, but on every single Lord's Day. And so, with the thief on the cross, we can be quick to acknowledge our guilt and our dependence upon Jesus. And with the thief on the cross, we cry out for mercy. Lord, remember us in your kingdom. And even though we have been unfaithful, even though we deserve the death of the cross, he is still faithful to us, and he does not give us what we deserve. He remembers us. He provides for all of our physical and spiritual needs. Since man does not live by bread alone, He gives us His body and blood to eat and to drink, to strengthen and sustain us in this life and unto life everlasting. So, whether you're hunting for animals this week, or for new clothes, or for the latest gadget, or for the best deal in Billings, maybe you'll be sleeping in instead and avoiding all of the crazy crowds on this Black Friday. Either way, I hope that you will spend time studying God's Word, specifically this text, the crucifixion of Jesus, and think about and remember and be thankful for all that God has done for you and for your eternal salvation on that Black Good Friday many years ago. Paschal Lamb, your offering finished once for all when you were slain, in its fullness undiminished, shall forevermore remain. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and His precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for His sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's Word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.